Welcome to At the Organ, a weekly show about the classical organ and its music, heard on organlive.com every Sunday or streaming from our website anytime. Just point your browser to attheorgan.com for more information. Now, let's hear what's happening this week at the organ.
Hi, and thank you for joining me today on At the Organ. My name is Brent Johnson, and today is August 12th, 2012, the second Sunday of August. And while I'm not one to say I'm looking forward to winter in any way, I am more than a little happy that our summer heat has taken a little break. Just about every student I know starts school tomorrow, and that means we're getting back into concert and recital season, and I always look forward to that. Our summer is still far from over, however, so let's start our show with a simple little pastorale by Jacques Ibert. We celebrate this French composer's 122nd birthday this week on August 15th. Jacques was born in Paris in 1890 and, of course, started his music studies early. He entered the Paris Conservatory in 1910 and won the Prix de Rome on his first try in 1919, despite the fact that he had left the school for the Navy to fight in World War I. More than just a composer, though, Ibert also focused his efforts on arts administration. In his life, he helped run the Academy of France at the Villa Medici in Rome, the National Lyric Theater, which ran both the Paris Opera and Opera Comique, and he was eventually elected to the Académie des Beaux-Arts. War affected his life a second time in 1940 when the Nazi government banned his music and forced Jacques into exile in Switzerland until the war was over. Ibert's music is very hard to classify, and in fact, he's often referred to as an eclectic composer, with no particular defining style. In the end, he composed very few works for organ, but there are some. This little ditty is his pastorale, performed by Simon Neminsky on the Copley organ of St. Mary's Roman Catholic Cathedral in Edinburgh, Scotland. Now, for a little change of pace, we remember the composer and teacher Vincent Persichetti, who died 25 years ago this week, on August 14th. Persichetti was a native of Philadelphia, born there in 1915, and he spent his entire life in that city, first studying at the Combs School of Music, where he later taught while he was studying at the Curtis Institute and the Philadelphia Conservatory. In 1947, he was offered a professorship at Juilliard, where he went on to teach and influence many important composers, including Philip Glass, and a guy most of us know as P.D.Q. Bach, Peter Schickli. Persichetti experimented with many modern compositional forms, such as polytonality. He defined his own music as being either graceful and gentle, or rough and rhythmic. Despite his expanded sense of harmony, Persichetti's music was always very grounded in counterpoint. He was known mostly as a virtuoso of the piano, but he did study organ, and he helped pay for his education by working as a church organist. He served as organist and choir director for the Arch Street Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia for almost 20 years. Among his many compositions are 9 for organ. Today, we'll listen to a chorale and chorale prelude. In 1956, Persichetti published a setting of the hymn Drop, Drop, Slow Tears, a text written by the English poet Phineas Fletcher, who was born in 1582. This setting was published in a collection of church music. Then, in 1967, the University of Kentucky commissioned the following prelude on that tune. This prelude was premiered in 1967 by Haskell Thompson. We first hear baritone Kevin Walsh singing the setting of the chorale, accompanied by David Heller on the organ, followed by the chorale prelude performed by Heller on the Rosales organ of Trinity Episcopal Cathedral in Portland, Oregon. In the chorale prelude, the tune is presented and developed always in four-part harmony, with the treatment echoing the text and spirit of each verse. At the climax of the piece, we hear a pedal cadenza, and then the work fades quietly into Persichetti's original setting.
Bathe those beauteous feet. sin doth never cease. In your deep floods drown all my faults and fears.
You're listening to At the Organ.
Now I'd like to point out that this week marks the 9th anniversary of the date when we first flipped the switch to start the broadcast of Organ Live. Actually, it was more of a mouse click than a switch flip, but that was the day our nonstop broadcast of organ music began. It was exciting and completely new at the time. Our broadcast library was about 6 hours long. Today, Organ Live boasts a library of almost 1,200 albums, comprising a total of 55 and a half days of playtime, and just under 15,000 tracks. We're happy that coinciding with that date, we will soon be opening up our second nonstop broadcast of organ music. Last week I told you that we were still looking for a name for this station, and as of the recording of this episode, we're still looking. However, this time we've received many good suggestions from our listeners, and I hope that in our next episode I can tell you the name of the station and the lucky winner who submitted the name. So keep listening, and thanks for all your support. Now, our last composer today is Samuel Coleridge Taylor, who was born 137 years ago this week on August 15, 1875. He was born in London to an English father named Taylor and a Sierra Leone Creole woman. They named him after the poet Samuel Taylor Coleridge and called him Coleridge Taylor. At some point, the two names became hyphenated and he continued using all three. His mother's brother was a musician and helped young Samuel in his early music training. He went on to study at the Royal School of Church Music with Charles Villiers Stanford. By the time he was 21, he was well known as a composer and received assistance and recommendations from other composers, such as Edward Elgar. His cantata Hiawatha's Wedding Feast, first performed in 1898, helped seal his popularity. He toured the U.S. in the early 20th century and drew crowds and attention, if not so much for his talent as for the color of his skin. Coleridge Taylor was encouraged to help explore the music of his national roots and to bring African music to the forefront of the classical world, just as Johannes Brahms had done for Hungarian music and Dvorak for Bohemian. His organ output was limited to a few works, although a number of his dramatic and symphonic compositions were transcribed for organ, and that's what we're listening to now. This is Simon Naminsky again, this time playing a Wix organ that was located in that organ company's erecting room at the time of the recording. For a factory building, it has surprisingly good acoustics. Work is called the Othello Suite, and the five movements are titled Dance, Children's Intermezzo, Funeral March, Willow Song, and Military March. That's all for today's show. Thank you for joining me. Until next time, if you have any comments or questions about this show, let us know. You can email us at info@attheorgan.com, or you can comment directly on this show on our website, attheorgan.com. On our website, you'll also find links to our Facebook page and our Twitter feed, where we supply you with information from organ history throughout the week. I'm Brent Johnson. Thanks for listening, and I'll meet you here next time at The Organ.
You've been listening to At The Organ, a weekly look at the art and music of the classical organ. We'd love to hear your comments about the show. Send your email to info@attheorgan.com, or just go to our website where you can comment on the show. There, you can also hear this week's show again or find back episodes. The address is attheorgan.com. At the Organ is a production of the Organ Media Foundation. For more information about supporting the foundation or sponsoring an episode of At the Organ, go to organmedia.org. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet you here next week at the Organ.